Listening on a higher dimension. Seventh Wave Network.
Good morning, and welcome to Being Here with host Ariel and Shia Kane. The Kanes will take you on an exciting exploration, which will open the door to living in the moment. Now, here are your hosts, Ariel and Shia.
Welcome, everyone.
Welcome to Being Here.
Good morning.
Afternoon.
Or evening.
Wherever you happen to be on this lovely planet.
And we are really, really happy that you're here with us today.
And today we're going to be talking about happiness.
I like that.
You know, it's really strange.
What?
When we said welcome wherever you are on this lovely planet, I thought of all the lovely places, or at least some of the lovely places, they flashed in my mind that we've been on this planet.
Right.
And how, you know, it's so easy to get into a rut where you are and not appreciate the beauty that exists all around you.
Yeah, and, you know, you don't have to travel far to see beauty. If you're really where you are,
then there is beauty around you. But we'll leave beauty aside for a minute. We need to talk about listening.
Mm-hmm.
Because most of us don't really listen. We listen whilst we do other things. Like plan our futures, look at what we have to do later that day.
Complain about what we didn't get done so far.
Or we did wrong or could have done better. All that stuff that gets in the way of really listening. So see if you can give yourself the gift of this hour to listen to this show as though the listening was an active thing that you were doing in a way like you're attending a university course.
You know, as you said it, Shia, about listening and just being here and listening, I noticed that my shoulders dropped. And it's not like they were high or up around my ears, but something just dropped more into being here and being me and not having to get anywhere or produce anything.
Yeah, that's the thing. You know, we're so driven to get somewhere in our lives that take a deep breath and relax and just get to where you are. Most of us don't do that very frequently in our hectic, busy lives, you know? There are things that need to get done all the time. However, you can only do what you're doing in any moment of your life. So if you're washing the dishes, that's all you could be doing in that moment. If you're listening to the show, that's what you're doing in this moment. Now, you could be listening to this show and listening to your internal conversation, complaining about everything else that you have to do and how you don't have enough time in your life. But the truth of the matter is, if you get to the moment, there's plenty of time.
You were talking about washing the dishes. And
yes, ma'am.
I did the dishes a little while ago before we did the show. And there were a couple components about doing the dishes that I found were so satisfying, and I was looking at happiness as the theme because I knew we were doing the show today, and I realized a couple things about doing the dishes. One is you were taking, Shai was taking a little breather.
A siesta.
And I was really happy that he could just take a break, and that my idea was, wouldn't it be neat if he got up after his little nappy, and mind you, it was like 15 minutes, and the kitchen looked like the house elf had been there, Dobby the house elf, and it was...
Dobby's quite cute, though. At least my Dobby is cute. I don't know about in the movie.
Yeah, I'm not
cute.
Wearing a dirty handkerchief or whatever, house towel, but so that when you got up, it was totally transformed and clean and beautiful and sparkling. So there was something about doing it was doing it for the act of doing it and doing it detailed, and but also as a gift. There's something about if you go about your day where you're taking care of not only yourself but the people in your environment, there's such a deep level of satisfaction. And as we talk about happiness today, in a certain respect, I think happiness for a lot of people is actually a form of upset.
Hmm.
you know, when you finally achieve that result and you get really happy about it, sometimes you're so way over the top that you then have the commensurate down afterwards. I remember that happened for Shai and I when we first published our book, Working on Yourself Doesn't Work, in the initial version before...
Back in 1999.
Before it was picked up by McGraw-Hill, and we've written much more. It's expanded. It's out now. It's gorgeous. It's excellent. It's selling well. You should get your copy.
Yes, we got an email from somebody a couple of weeks ago talking about how they just were looking at the back cover and their life transformed and reading the three principles that were written there.
If you didn't catch that episode, it's 2 weeks back, so go back and listen to it. But we got so excited and so happy that our book was selling well once we got the results
that we missed our flight. We were on our way down to Florida, and we had to wait for another 8 hours to catch another plane, and we were still in the midst of that excitement, and we almost missed the second flight.
So sometimes happiness is when you get so jacked up over top of your normal state that you lose sight of everything around you. And that's not what we're talking about today. We're talking about that deep hum of well-being where you just feel happy to be alive and happy to be in your skin and happy that the people who you have in your environment are in your environment.
So there are three ideas or principles to instantaneous transformation, at least, but, you know, three primary ones. And the first one is that if you resist anything in your life, if you want anything to be different than it is, if you don't like anything about your life, then you will stay exactly the way you don't want to be. So anything you resist persists, grows stronger, and dominates your life.
Big clue. So if you're feeling unhappy right now, take a look. There is something that you are resisting.
Right.
And the very fact that you're resisting it, whatever it is going to keep it around. It's also the source of your unhappiness. What you resist persists. It grows stronger.
And dominates your life. The second idea or principle is that no two things can occupy this moment at the same time. So in your life, in this moment of now, second snap was better than
that. Yeah, it was.
You could only be exactly as you were the moment my finger snapped. Here, I'll try again. That was pretty good.
Can you guys hear that? That's Shai snapping his fingers. That moment.
In that moment, you could only be the way you were. See, you can only be exactly as you are right now. That means you can only have the thoughts you're having, the body sensations you're having, the state of health that you have, the state of wealth that you have, the current situation in your life, and the history that you've had up until now. All that can only be exactly as it is right now.
Now, what causes your unhappiness?
Disagreeing with the way your life is showing up right now.
And entertaining that false idea that things could have been different.
Or could be different. Because in this moment, they can only be exactly as they are. Interestingly enough, if you were to look in the dictionary on the word perfect, it says lacking no component parts, immutable, not changeable. Well, this moment of your life is lacking no component parts, even though you may think so, and is not changeable because the moment is here and gone, and in that moment of that snap of the fingers, blink of an eye, it's the way it is in that moment. It can't be different. So that's the second principle. And the third principle is anything that you see without judging and allow to be exactly as it is without trying to change it or fix it, completes itself the moment you see it. So if you have an unwanted behavior that you've been trying to change, have been trying to get rid of, and you say, I'll be happy when I'm over this nail-biting thing, well, then you'll never get over it because you're trying to get over it keeps you stuck in it. So that's the third principle.
So, again, just I think it's worth repeating the third principle again.
Anything that you allow to be exactly as it is completes itself.
Now, notice he said allow is a little truncated. Allow.
Allow is not accept.
Really, you know, we were talking about a few weeks back about having been in Hamburg, Germany, and it was really wonderful on the Tuesday evening that we did there live. We get to do international calls, but since we were in town, we got to do them live the way we do them here in New York when we're here. And a woman came who had come to our weekend workshop back in April. And she was talking about how things were really different for her now, like she was more happier, and that there were things in her life that weren't her preference, but she was now accepting them. And Shai started to have a conversation with her about the word acceptance. And acceptance, basically, when you say, "Oh, I accept
that," which Ariel's going to have with you right now.
Yeah, I am. When you say, "I accept that," you're basically saying, "No, I don't like it first, but I'll get over it, and I accept it." Okay, fine. You haven't fully surrendered to it being the way it is. It's not the same as allowing, which is what he was saying in the third principle. Anything you allow or see to be exactly the way it is completes itself.
You know, non-preferentially. So it's not like, well, I'd prefer it to be different than it is, but since this is the way it is, I'll put up with it.
I'll live with it. So, and there was a woman there for the first time on that Tuesday, and she really took exception and said, no, I understand what this woman says. Accept is perfect. You misunderstood her, Shia. And the woman who had been talking about being there in April stopped for a moment, looked inside herself, and said, you know what? Shia was right. Hidden in there was this little hidden attitude against it. And that's what I was saying when I said accept. So what you have to do is stretch your reality. When you're listening today, it's also stretching your reality. There may be new things today that maybe even the same words that you've heard before, but if you really hear and listening, something new may appear to you.
Listening as though you put your listening ears on,
mm-hmm.
where you're listening to hear what's being said, not to see whether you already know it or agree with it or disagree with it, but you're listening to hear what's being said in this moment as though it's all new information. You know, in Zen, they call it beginner's mind, where you operate as though you don't already know everything there is to know.
I actually think the beginner's mind is something that is really a clue for being in the moment and happiness. And we're going to talk about that more when we get back. But as we said that, I just flashed on that little child that we saw in Hamburg who was sitting there and picking up rocks and looking at rocks, and they were so happy when they got a white one or a brown one. Happiness is not circumstantially derived. It is a state. We'll be back shortly. Come on back.
Don't miss being here.
Taking you to the threshold of a dream and beyond. Seventh Wave Network.
Everybody is thinking green these days, but green is not just an environmental state of mind, it's a healthier state of being. It's the food we eat, the air we breathe, and the structures we live and work in. It's not the dollars that we're spending, but how we spend those dollars. Are we consciously making informed decisions? Join host Connie McCullough as she explores healthier living by choice. Living Green, Healthier by Choice, airs live on the 7th Wave Network every Thursday afternoon at 5 p.m. Eastern and 2 p.m. Pacific Time. Tune in for the challenge of a lifetime, a challenge for greener, healthier living.
Ready to be inspired, entertained, and enlightened? Let award-winning authors Ariel and Shia Kane support you in discovering a state of well-being that in the past was rarely, if ever, achieved. Now you too can experience Ariel and Shia's revolutionary new technology, Instantaneous Transformation, that has helped thousands discover how to have more satisfying lives without working on themselves or their problems. Visit www.transformationmadeeasy.com to receive free audio downloads and to sign up for the Canes weekly newsletter featuring articles, inspiring quotes, and stories from real people just like you who have discovered enlightenment through the Canes approach. Visit www.transformationmadeeasy.com. Transformationmadeeasy.com.
The new home for visionary positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
You are listening to Being Here with host Ariel and Shia Kane. Now, back to Being Here.
Welcome back.
Welcome back to Being Here.
We're talking about happiness.
Happiness. That, you know, in the American Constitution, Declaration of Independence, I guess it was, it said you have the right to pursue happiness. It doesn't mean you're going to get it. See, in our world, the pursuit of happiness is what most people get lost in, trying to find something to make them happy. And, you know, what's interesting about happiness is it's culturally derived. Our approach is anthropological. It's not psychological. And an anthropologist studies cultures. And, you know, we human beings can only conceive of what the culture we're raised in has as part of that culture. And there's the idea of happiness, but usually it takes a few drinks to get there.
Yeah, it was very interesting. I know we talked in our new book, Working on Yourself Doesn't Work, Three Simple Ideas That Will Instantaneously Transform Your Life, about some of the culturally derived ideas of happiness. And there is one that we talk about in there. I'm not going to give it away, but there's a subset to that, and that's in Bali, Indonesia. When we built there, we had a partner, and one of his real pursuits of happiness, what he wanted, what made him happy, was to make enough money so that when he's cremated, he could have gold filigree on the bower so that when they burnt it, they were burning gold. Now, I don't know about you folks, but that isn't top 10 on my list of things that are going to make me happy. I mean, the idea of an outdoor cremation ceremony where everybody's watching doesn't make me happy all to begin with. But it's like that's not something that I dreamt of since I was a child.
That's not something that's culturally determined in the culture that Ariel or I grew up in.
So perhaps some of those things that you were pursuing off in the future, some of those goals, are really something that once they get here, they're not going to be ultimately fulfilling.
See, our idea is that if you get into this moment of now, and listening, by the way, true listening will pull you into the moment, and transformation, the shifting in the way you experience your life, it is a result of getting into the moment. It's a byproduct of getting into the moment. So there's really nothing to do. You know, all those years of meditation that we did, that was just years of meditation. That didn't produce the transformations that we experienced in our lives.
Now, let me go back to goals for a minute, because I want you all to know that neither Shia nor I are poo-pooing your goals. And everybody has heart's desires, and there's nothing wrong with that.
The only problem is when your goals are achieved, then you have to ask yourself, is this all there is? Then you have to ask yourself, did this goal fulfill me, or am I the same person who I was before, but now I have attained this goal?
Now, if you're fulfilled or you're happy on the way to producing the goal, that completion of that goal actually intensifies the experience. But if you are frustrated on the way to completing that goal, then when you get there, it'll just be a deeper sense of frustration, because it's not going to produce anything other than what you already have. Your life is a slice of your life. We've been talking about it recently. It's very interesting. We often ask people, what's your favorite type of pie?
And in Germany, where we led workshops recently, the answer is cheesecake.
And, you know, even the Germans in New York seem to answer cheesecake. So let's say your favorite slice of pie is cheesecake. You cut out a piece of cheesecake. You eat it. Mmm, yum. You put it back in the fridge. Well, I'm assuming you're not lactose intolerant now. And when you go to get it out of the refrigerator, it's not now suddenly cherry pie. A slice of your life is a slice of your life is a slice of your life.
You know, it's how you do anything is how you do everything. And if so, if you're going about your day as if you can't wait to get over with work so you can go home and have some fun, well, then when you get home, you're going to be waiting to get to go to bed.
Can I talk about something personal here for a moment?
Anything you want, honey.
Shy and I are having a date tonight.
Oh, this is good to know. Well, thank you.
But I can tell you it's probably going to be really satisfying. You know how I know?
Because you're satisfied right now.
Yeah, and I enjoyed so much doing the dishes. I was doing those dishes. I was there. I was filling the hot water, even like getting up the little crumbs of coffee off the counter. It was like in it. And so it's perfect. And my life is an extension of itself. And I'm very, very happy about that. So I thought I would share that all with you. And, you know, a lot of people think, oh, there's the better things to do, like, you know, making love is better than doing the dishes. But it's all similar.
If you're not there when you're doing the dishes, the chances are better than average that you're not going to be there when you're making love either. You'll be lost in your thoughts about what you haven't done, what you have to do, whether your partner is enjoying themselves, whether you're enjoying yourself. You just won't be there for it. So this is about getting to where you are. That's where you'll discover your true happiness.
Speaking of Germany, we've spoken of being in Hamburg and Germans quite a bit. We have a German on the phone with us today. Actually, we spoke to her a couple weeks ago. I'm so happy she's back. You're there, Stephanie?
Yes, it's Stephanie from Hamburg, Germany. I'm here.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
Hey, yeah, were you with us on the Money, Success, and Happiness, Art of Being Wealthy show?
Yes, it was great.
Uh-huh. So now we're just doing the little segment of the happiness portion.
Yeah.
How you doing?
Great, thank you. Listening to you, it's so fascinating, and it makes me happy.
No, Stephanie, that's not the truth.
As much as we'd love to take credit for it, then we'd have to take credit for your unhappiness, too.
Yeah, it's not the truth. No, you make you happy, and you blame it on us.
Okay.
Fall in love, the person that you're with doesn't produce those feelings in you, shocking as that may be. You generate that. And you blame it on them.
But I got when I listened, I just like I'm realizing for the first time it's nothing is coming from outside which produces happiness or unhappiness. It's all created by myself.
That's right.
Wow.
You know, how long have we known you, Stephanie?
Oh, I think since 1997.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is really neat. 11 years.
Yo.
Hey, because as I'm talking to you, I remember when we first met you, your ability to be happy was so much smaller.
It was limited.
And one of the things that really severely, severely limited your ability to be happy at that time
was that you were at war with your parents.
Oh, yeah, that took most of my energy at that time.
I mean, when we first met you, hadn't you not talked to your mother for some time?
And to my father, too, I think for two years, 3 years.
Yeah.
How are things between you and them these days?
You're just lovely. They just had their golden wedding, and I was singing for them in the church.
Wow.
And they come to visit me and my boyfriend for Christmas this year, and it's just lovely going with us.
That's great.
Yeah, and no one at those days back in 1997, or people or acquaintances of us that would have sworn that we would never talk to each other again. I was just a brat, and then I met you.
Well,
I don't blame it on you that I'm now getting well along with my parents, but you supported me.
You know, of course we supported you, but, you know, we support lots of people, and it's really up to people whether or not they're successful with being supported.
But, you see, if you're at war with your parents, then you cannot allow yourself to be happy.
Because if you're happy...
Then they might have raised you right.
Oh, yeah, and I would never have given that to them at that time.
You know, there's you can either be right or you can be alive. And one of the hallmarks of being alive is being happy. But if back when we first met you, you were being right that your parents were...
Had done it wrong,
were awful people for this reason or that reason. And you had a huge story of your life to support those ideas.
But you see, most of us put together the story of our life when we were children. See, and then we tell ourselves that story over and over and over again. Now, in the last 10 or 11 years, Stephanie, you've grown amazingly, you know, in your experience of living. Yeah?
Yeah, and I love my parents, and it's just wonderful to...
Well, you see, you always did love your parents, but you had this story about who they were that you put together when you were a... child in the midst of a temper tantrum.
And then, yeah. Like most people, you gathered evidence to support the idea.
That story's point of view.
Yeah.
I remember once we had Corrine McCormick, I know you know her, she was telling us that a friend of hers came with her to an evening, and her friend was saying, wow, I remember how your parents always threw you these great birthday parties. And at that time, she had totally forgotten that because it didn't fit with her story that her father had no time for her or no interest for her.
Cool.
And I love when people have the opportunity to reclaim pieces of their life once they let the story stop ruling who they are.
Yeah. And suddenly, if you give up the story, there's so much more space suddenly that can fill with life and aliveness.
Yes. But you don't really have to give up the story. You just have to stop believing the story as though it's the truth.
Yeah.
And the main thing, the way to do that, if we're looking at the three principles of instantaneous transformation, is not to get rid of the story. It's about noticing all the ways you have the story without judging yourself for what you see. And you will have stories about your personal history for the rest of your life. You just don't have to...
believe it as though it's the truth.
That sounds so relieving.
It is relieving.
Great.
It should be relieving. But yeah. You know something, Stephanie? We have to go to a break now.
Yes.
So I have a question. Are you available to come after the break?
Yes, I am.
Excellent.
Good.
So Stephanie will be back with us. So why don't you come on back?
And don't miss...
being here.
Right on.
Be extraordinary. Seventh Wave Network.
Ready to be inspired, entertained, and enlightened? Let award-winning authors Ariel and Shia Kane support you in discovering a state of well-being that in the past was rarely, if ever, achieved. Now you too can experience Ariel and Shia's revolutionary new technology, instantaneous transformation, that has helped thousands discover how to have more satisfying lives without working on themselves or their problems. Visit www.transformationmadeeasy.com to receive free audio downloads and to sign up for the Kane's weekly newsletter featuring articles, inspiring quotes, and stories from real people just like you who have discovered enlightenment through the Kane's approach. Visit www.transformationmadeeasy.com.
Once upon a time, there lived three energy hogs. Now, an energy hog is what you have when humans waste energy. One day, the three energy hogs set out to find themselves a cottage.
Let's look for leaky windows,
said the first energy hog, for he knew that would waste energy.
Let's look for leaky doors,
said the second.
Let's look for a swing set,
said the third, for he had more blubber than brains. So they set off down the road. Presently, they came upon a tiny cottage where dwelt a clever girl named Dreadylocks.
I hope it has leaky windows,
cried the first energy hog.
I hope it has leaky doors,
cried the second.
I hope it has a bathroom,
cried the third, for only his brains were smaller than his bladder. But Dreadylocks liked playing cool games at energyhog.org. And from energyhog.org, she learned how to use energy wisely. So the three energy hogs were forced to look elsewhere to waste energy and had to use the disgusting restroom at the gas station down the road. And the moral of the story is, to use energy wisely, log on to energyhog.org or waste not, hog not.
This public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
Listening on a higher dimension. Seventh Wave Network.
You are listening to Being Here with hosts Ariel and Shia Kane. Now, back to Being Here.
Welcome back to Being Here.
Yes, the don't miss thing. You don't want to miss being here.
Man, you miss being here. You are not happy.
Well, you may not even be alive.
I actually thought about it today when we were, you know, I flashed on it. Jaya made this incredible brunch. We had, I'm going to make you all hungry now, sauteed onions and peppers and eggs, and we had raisin toast. It was just very yummy. And I realized that if you're not there while eating it, you don't taste your food.
Yeah, if you're off worrying about the future or thinking how you did your past wrong, then there's no taste buds, no taste in the food. You could be eating straw. You could be eating hay. But hay might taste better than...
Yeah, might.
Might. Depends on the type of hay.
Okay, we're back.
Depends on if you're a cow or not.
That's right. We're back with that. Well, actually... When I was a kid, our dog Brownie was so in survival, he was so freaked out that if the neighbor fed his cow oats, Brownie would rush in and try and eat the oats ahead of him and bite the cow so that the cow couldn't get to his food. I don't think people are like that. Sometimes they get so in survival that they are not really up there for everybody else around them having well-being. And I have to tell you, I'm certain oats were not top 10 on his food list. But
right.
I digress. Okay, so there you are. We're back with Stephanie. You still there, Stephanie?
Yes, I'm here.
Cool.
What pops in my mind is happiness and relationship.
Right.
Especially the relationship with my boyfriend.
Okay.
And, well, of course, I want to be happy with him, and I am happy, but from time to time, we got lost in fights and what I really don't like, and I don't want that.
Well, then stop trying to change him.
Huh. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the other thing is you're not wanting it. The way you say not wanting it,
that's got to keep it around.
That's first principle. You'll produce it.
Anything you don't want,
yeah,
you keep around. So if you don't want to be fighting with your boyfriend, that's what you'll produce.
The other thing is it might just be technical between your phone and our phone, but when you were talking, you laid out the first part of what you had to say. Shia had some information for you. He started to speak and you spoke over him.
And I bet you do that with your boyfriend.
Oh.
Yes,
I think. Yeah.
Because you want to make your point first.
The truth, Stephanie, is the point doesn't really matter. It's about being with another person. And if you're making points rather than being together, then there won't be happiness in the relationship.
Yeah, that's true.
Now, there's something else, Stephanie, and I think part of the reason from time to time you get lost with your boyfriend is you try to keep the relationship together rather than listening to those internal truths that you have. So if there are things that you want to do or things that are important to you, sometimes I think you don't really be full tilt yourself about that because...
You mean honest?
Yeah, honest.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to rock the boat, so to speak.
You want to keep the relationship going. Now, we're not saying you shouldn't.
I actually know, though, that the best way to keep a relationship going and growing is to be honest.
Because if you don't deal with those things honestly, then the relationship has to end.
Yeah. But,
anything that you keep as secretive or any lies that you have in a relationship guarantee the demise of the relationship, the death of the relationship.
Yeah.
And look, if you can't speak what's true for you without the fear of reprisals or being, you know...
Punished somehow.
Punished, that's what I was looking for. Punished somehow, then you don't have a relationship to begin with.
Yeah.
So you might as well speak your truth.
We were joking about it a couple of Monday nights ago here in New York about how when Shy and I first got together, we used to punish each other. Shy would threaten to take himself away, I'm out of here, and I would threaten to, I don't know, go after him or get aggressive or I'd just be really nasty. We had different ways of relating that weren't conducive to having a magical relationship. And it was really important that each of us keep being honest with ourselves about what's okay. Like, it wasn't okay with Shia for me to be aggressive. That he just wasn't interested in that. And if I wanted to continue that, that was fine, but it wasn't going to be with him. And knowing that gave me the almost like a springboard into myself. So I didn't have to continue with learned behaviors or mechanical behaviors, and vice versa for him. We discovered how to be ourselves rather than our mechanics.
Cool.
Okay?
Yeah, great. Thank you.
You're very welcome. We really appreciate that you called in today.
Thank you very much.
And say hi to your boyfriend.
Right. Yes, I will. Immediately.
And we look forward to hearing his voice and both your voices and on the international conference call.
Yeah, we're both looking forward to it, too.
Speaking of which, if you're in Europe, particularly in Germany, there are lots of hub cities. You can go up on our website, transformationmadeeasy.com, and you can find out, in fact, Stephanie is our contact person in Germany. You can find out which cities we'll be hosting. You are welcome to join us. She can give you the details.
The international conference call, the next one is on the 11th of November.
So thanks, Stephanie, and we'll speak to you again soon.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye. Well, oh, she's gone. I heard that. She left.
She was beamed back to Germany.
You know, one of the other things about happiness.
What's another thing about happiness?
Being unreasonable.
Yeah, you know, people oftentimes see something they want in life and say, I'm going to do that. And then they talk themselves out of it. They give themselves all the reasons why they can't or they shouldn't, or somebody will be annoyed with them if they do.
You know, there was a young gal, I'm not going to say her name. Why don't I make up a name? June. It's totally not her name, but it works. And she signed up to come with us this year for our Costa Rican Adventures, which is a course.
A week-long course, an immersion course in transformation, in a beautiful environment and setting where, with you know, a number of other like-minded people who are looking to discover their own enlightenment.
And she signed up, and she got inspired and about herself and her life and wanted to step into it. She signed up, and she put in her first deposit and got ready to go. And she had to go out of town for a while. She got a bit lost in herself. And what happened was she couldn't think, oh, I don't know if I want to come now. And her life got slower and slower. And this is not about whether someone comes to Costa Rica or not. It's about
when you sell out on your dreams, when you talk yourself out of what you really want.
And she said, well, you know, I find myself, I work freelance, but I really just kind of sitting around my apartment. And it's not like she wasn't capable to handle it. And we told her, no problem, you don't have to come, whatever you want to do. And then we told her, look, there are so many people who are so excited to come, you really need to let us know one way or another, because it's unfair to all these people who are so excited if you're dragging your feet. So she wrote us an email, said, I'm not coming. And then about an hour later, we got a totally different email. And the email was, I am so excited about it. Can I please revise my decision? Can I please come? And we saw her recently, and June was glowing, and she was back to herself because she got unreasonable. She started going for what she wanted. She became non-complacent. She discovered she was capable. And that's why each year Costa Rica is such a great metaphor for people's lives. What in your life brings you excitement and juice, and are you happy for going for? It could be something simple like cleaning your kitchen, but it could also be the big ticket item that you just sold out on because you said you're not capable. What we're talking about is going for your life in a non or an unreasonable manner. I like
that. Yeah, I like that too.
You know, we have another caller called in. Mark, are you there? Hi.
She just got
back. Hi, good afternoon.
Thank you. You know, we realize we have just about 1 minute here until we have to take another break. So I'm hoping
that you can stay with us.
You available?
Absolutely. Yes, I am.
Excellent. So we're discussing happiness today. We'll be coming back after the break with Mark.
And please do come back and join us, and don't miss
being here.
Being here.
Awakened Media for a transforming world. Seventh Wave Network.
I know, being a college freshman is supposed to be tough, but let me tell you about my schedule this semester. All 18 credits. Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, I have American Lit at 8:05 a.m., and then I only have 15 minutes to get to my 9:15 Ethics and Value Theory class all the way across campus. Then in the afternoon, Calculus 1. On Tuesdays and Thursdays, I have two lectures that go through lunch. Sociology of Families, then Intro to Microbiology. Pre-med. And finally, I have a double lab that ends around 9 p.m. Anyway, I just wanted to say thank you.
If a kid will do whatever it takes to get through college, what will you do to send her there? Please support the United Negro College Fund and call 1-800-332-UNCF, because a mind is a terrible thing to waste. A public service brought to you by UNCF and the Ad Council.
Ready to be inspired, entertained, and enlightened? Let award-winning authors Ariel and Shia Kane support you in discovering a state of well-being that in the past was rarely, if ever, achieved. Now you too can experience Ariel and Shia's revolutionary new technology, Instantaneous Transformation, that has helped thousands discover how to have more satisfying lives without working on themselves or their problems. Visit www.transformationmadeeasy.com to receive free audio downloads and to sign up for the Kane's weekly newsletter featuring articles, inspiring quotes, and stories from real people just like you who have discovered enlightenment through the Kane's approach. Visit www.transformationmadeeasy.com. Transformationmadeeasy.com.
Your online community for positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
You are listening to Being Here with hosts Ariel and Shia Kane. Now, back to Being Here.
Okay. Welcome back. Here we are, Being Here, and we're here with Mark. How you doing, Mark?
I'm well. You guys?
Most excellent.
Oh, you're most excellent. I'm only excellent.
I was speaking for both of us.
Oh, okay, okay.
So, what can we do for you today, sir?
Well, I have a question about happiness, because one thing that I've been seeing is how easily I pick up on either the happiness or unhappiness of people around me.
Right.
And I love what you said, Shai, about how your approach is anthropological. And my guess is that I probably learned that at a pretty early age.
Well, look, Mark, how many people did you know as you were growing up that were really, truly happy?
Less than a handful.
Less than a handful. That's honest. You know, most of our parents were lost in trying to make the money to support the family just to survive. You have the luxury, of living in a time when there's this possibility of physical and emotional well-being and happiness. You know, it's really wild. I look around, and my home is so, or my office at least, the home as well, is so highly technical. I mean, we've got these computers
and printers and telephones and fax machines and
air conditioning and, you know, like, and heat. And our home is warmer in winter than the richest kings in the Middle Ages ever could imagine. There's more luxury in my home. What's possible here is so far beyond what they could have imagined. And I bet it's true for you as well.
Yeah, it is true.
I mean, you have a television?
Yes.
You have a cell phone?
I'm talking to you on my cell phone.
See, you have an apartment that you live in that's heated in winter and perhaps cooled in summer?
Yes.
I mean, you know, that's amazing.
So it just goes to show that what you have
does not produce happiness or well-being. But how it is that you approach your life, now that has a lot to do with how you are in your life regarding being happy.
Well, you said something about how you can really be influenced by the people who are around you who are unhappy, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
And we have an analogy for you.
Okay.
We have a boat. And if we travel slowly in our boat and a wake comes along
from another boat,
it really rocks us back and forth and up and down and sideways.
But when we're up at speed, those other wakes, especially, you know, like in a highly trafficked area, sometimes the water can get terribly choppy. But if you're up at speed, it doesn't, the boat just goes pop, 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 right through it.
So on the times where you get unreasonably knocked off center by being around people who are unhappy, you may want to take a look and see if there's something in your own life that you're backing off from that you're not engaged in fully and engage, because that makes you a lot more susceptible to the whims of the people around you.
Yeah, I love what the analogy you just used about the boat, because it made me think that when I am happy, it just seems like my life has such a natural rhythm.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that rather than being sort of slow and sluggish and, you know, walking like I'm walking in cement, everything seems to happen.
You're sluggish and walking in cement because you think so much.
Yeah.
You know, you don't...
Guilty.
Yes. You don't just get involved in what there is to do. You think about whether you want to first.
Like now.
Yeah.
You see how there's, like we say something, and there's this gap while you think about it?
Like that?
Yeah. I just want to be a good. I want to be a good listener. I wasn't sure if you were done.
Oh no, 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 no! That's your justification.
Now look, we've had many people on the show.
If you're a good listener, you know exactly when we're done. The point is made.
Yeah.
And if you're listening, but if you're listening to your internal conversation about what's being said and trying to apply it to your life, then you're not in the moment any longer. So that's what that gap is.
Mm-hmm.
So you're getting better already. See?
Now, but the trick, Mark, is to not make yourself wrong for the amount that you think.
Because you can't help but think. That's the second principle, you know, that you can only be exactly as you are in any given moment. And if you happen to be thinking in that moment, that's all you can be doing. If you happen to be judging yourself in that moment, that's all you can be doing. But if you notice it without judging yourself for it, now we've moved into the third principle, suddenly you're free. Suddenly those behaviors cease to dominate your life in an instant.
And you really are a perfect you.
Really? Mark?
I'm thinking.
I know.
But I'm not judging myself for it. I'm just thinking.
There you go.
Well, what were you thinking when you were thinking?
Now I've gone on to thinking something else. I'm sure I couldn't tell you.
Well, that's okay.
Well, I actually think you gave yourself a hint when you said you liked our analogy, because when you move slowly and it's like your feet are in cement, you can play games with yourself where you just bring yourself more up to speed, where you use your eyes to actually look at what's in the room rather than get them unfocused while you're thinking, that you discover a more directed way of communication. You just keep bringing yourself forward, and it becomes habitual.
Yeah, it's a skill set. See, learning to live in the moment is a skill set, Mark. It's not something that you wouldn't think of, say, learning to speak French, for instance, and think, if I just read one book, I'll have it handled. No, it's something that you have to practice, and you get more skilled at. The more you do it, the more skillful you become at it. Well, it's the same thing with learning how to live in the moment, how to see your truth from your heart rather than think about what's better or worse.
Yeah.
What are you working on? You're working on something.
Oh, no, I was just... It made me realize how much that I do that, and how much I'm doing feasibility studies on things. You know what I mean by that? That, you know, you're thinking about, okay, if I do this, maybe this will happen, or this won't happen, or...
Yeah, but what we were talking about was being unreasonable, which is kind of like not...
The opposite of a feasibility study is about going for your truth, for your want, for your desire, as opposed to thinking about whether it's going to turn out okay. So you're hoping to know that it's going to work out okay before you go for your life.
You know, feasibility study is not a really good strategy for asking someone out on a date.
Because she might say no. And then again, she might say yes.
And while you're studying it, the opportunity may
disappear.
Yeah.
You know, it's those. I remember once I asked Ariel out after our first date, and she said, "I can't tonight. I have a date." I said, "Break it."
And you know what?
She did.
It was a happy day.
That's right.
Hey,
well,
you know,
look, Mark, we've run out of time here.
It's been lovely speaking to you. We're looking forward to seeing you at the next Monday Night Alive.
Yes.
We invite everybody else.
That's on November 10th.
And I'll tell you what, y'all, you can get up on our website, transformationmadeeasy.com, find out about our books, our audios, our podcasts of the month, and share this show with people. Share, share. Sharing and giving leads to happiness. Got to tell you, it really does. Thanks for being here. Come on back.
And don't miss
being here.
We hope you have enjoyed today's episode of Being Here. If you would like to learn more about instantaneous transformation, visit the Canes website at www.transformationmadeeasy.com. Transformationmadeeasy.com. Be sure to tune in next Wednesday for another exciting and empowering episode of Being Here.